No hugs. Welcome to Radio Freak America 11, A New Hope. I'm Dual Parallel. I'm joined on the phone by Rax.
No Hope, episode 11.
No Hope. And Mary Chan.
Hi.
Hi, that lovely hi from Mary Chan. You know, Rax, we've got our show notes. I've got all the show, you know. Well, not all the show. I'd like to try to be prepared, but...
You're a Boy Scout that way.
Yeah. I never was a Boy Scout, though. I actually am going to do something special, and I know it's not in my notes. I received correspondence from somebody very special, one of my senators. Yes, I received a response from my CBDPA letter that I sent. Of course, that's the May Day protest, that damn levy they want to lay on internet radio stations. That'll put them all out of business. I'd like to read it to you listeners. Dear Dual Parallel, of course he didn't say that, thank you for contacting me regarding S, meaning Senate, 2048, the Consumer Broadband and Digital Promotion Act. I appreciate hearing your concerns on this important issue. As you may know, S2048 was introduced by Senator Fritz Hollings and was referred to the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. Although I do not serve on this subcommittee, I will keep your concerns in mind should this legislation reach the full Senate. The thoughtful input of my constituents has always been and continues to be of the utmost importance. I'm doing the Bill Clinton, you know, thumb on the fist thing right now. Of the utmost importance to me as your U.S. Senator. I have always believed that it is essential to know what is on the minds of the people, and it is my honor to represent them in Washington. Again, thank you for contacting me, and I hope you will continue to keep me apprised of the issues most important to you. Sincerely, United States Senator. Yes, folks, hopefully it seems that my message got through. I don't know if this is a form or not, but regardless, I received a reply. So I hope everyone, all of you listeners, Rax and Mary Chan included, wrote your congressmen, your representatives, your senators, shoot, your governors, anybody. Get the word out and let them know that that's a bunch of crap. Did you write your representatives, Rex?
Actually, I kind of did one a little better than that. I did a presentation on some technology for a bunch of kids at a local high school here and was doing all the IBO and robotic stuff and that, and we kind of got off in a rant about the evils of corporate America and the RIAA and the CARP and everything else and that. And so basically, you know, you're one of these days you're just going to hear something on the news like, oh, by the way, it's now illegal to do this. And told them, you know, if people aren't aware of this and if they're not going to start doing something, all those fun little things are going to go away.
And you'll never even notice. You'll sit there and you'll watch TV and they'll just take all your rights away right from under your nose. So really, you're ranting. So you've educated the youth of America, basically, on the evils, on what they're doing to basically control everything we see, touch, experience, create. That makes me happy, Rex.
You know, and it's getting worse than that. I finally realized, I think even it was just today, that I finally realized that my rant is you know, you can pick out all kinds of specific ones. You know, everyone likes picking on Microsoft because they're a nice big target, and it's fun to make fun of Bill Gates. But, you know, it's really corporate America. Corporate America is the one that's just so damn greedy. I mean, there was a thing today, printer cartridges, right? You know, the inkjets, the laser jets.
Yeah.
You can get a inkjet printer for $49, brand new, HP, whatever brand you want, right?
Dirt cheap.
You get to go to get a refill cartridge, $35.
Yeah.
What's up with that, right? HP, they put their facts and figures online about the merger, which, by the way, takes place today. Compaq is no more; is now part of HP. But that was the most profitable division of HP. They make computers. They make all kinds of stuff. Their division that did the printing and imaging because of the sales of the cartridges is making so much money. So what are they talking about now? Having legislation making it illegal, basically, probably, to have ink cartridges refilled. I mean, what's going to be next? I'm sorry, sir, if someone comes up to your door and knocks, they give you a subpoena. You've taken your Ford motor car to a non-Ford dealer, and that is a felony in this state. You're going to be spending hard time next to the guy who... But next to the Unabomber, I mean...
That's right. You're going to have to change your oil in your garage in the middle of the night, You're afraid of the car police.
To do that, you won't be able to go to, any auto store and buy that kind of stuff because it's going to be illegal because the big companies say, we're losing money by people changing their own oil. Let's pass a law to make it illegal. And that's all these companies are doing. It's going to be illegal to refill ink cartridges? I mean, what's next? I ranted last week about, they're going to make us have a license to have radio. And which actually kind of sounds like in communist China, if you can control information, you can control the people. Did you know this, Duel, that in China, you have to have a government license to own a modem?
I did not know that.
They want to know who has modems. And I was at a computer organization presentation it came like the weekend before COMDEX. This was several years ago. And there was a bunch of people from Russia that were there before the fall of the Soviet Union. They were talking about the various things and so on and so forth. And then, communism fell and all that. It was several years before they finally came back. And the people came back and they were talking about it. And they said, and this is, to everyone that was there, they would do things like, first of all, as, that kind of helped for the fall of communism, they'd be walking through Red Square. They'd be walking around in Moscow and... the KGB was still in full force and everything then, so people would pass each other little slips of paper with the phone number for where the bulletin board was that night. Now, not many people had telephones, but on top of that, they had to keep moving it around so the KGB wouldn't find out. And people would call in and get information. They used a bootleg copy of Adobe PageMaker, and matter of fact, Adobe even printed a poster up with us, showing like the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. But they said they used a bootleg copy of Adobe PageMaker. They made up their own flyers and printed them and distributed them. So rather than going to a government-controlled printing shop, they distributed their own information. If you can control information, you can control people. And that's been proven through the centuries. They're still doing that. They're doing that in China. I mean, they were doing the churches were doing that hundreds of years ago, right?
Right.
Only the priests could read.
Good thing they're not doing that here, Rax.
Yeah, but the priests have found other things to preoccupy themselves with, I guess, these days.
Oh.
I was down there. I'll get off my rant for the day.
Yes, thank you very much. I was commenting on the state of the nation, not the state of priests. But, regardless, we could go on the whole show and talk about the evils of conglomerates and the government who is their strong arm, but we won't, because we have more important things to talk about.
We can talk about happy things.
No, we're not talking about happy things like puppies. We're going to talk about more important things like my telco troubles. That, darn it, is the most important thing.
Not ponies?
No, not ponies, not puppies, none of that stuff. It's my telco troubles, and they just do not seem to end. You know what? Let me get these bills here. Let me get this. Now, last week, of course, was darn, almost a sad show. Didn't get to talk about a lot of stuff, but I'm going to talk about something that happened to me that week. And that's, I had a little trouble with a company called Business Discount Plan. I inadvertently got their service. I believe we talked about that in the first episode. And I changed my number and I faxed them the bill where, with all of their charges, their outrageous charges, and I said, hey, can I get, this last refund? And like I said, I changed my number. So my old number was on the bill and showed the charges. But I received this letter from them. This letter is sent to confirm the Business Discount Plan has attempted to contact you on several occasions, and each attempt has been unsuccessful. Well, I just faxed them the old bill. Now, where would you think my brand new number would be? Maybe the, oh, I don't know, account number? Yes, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, my account number had my brand new number. Of course, they didn't figure that out. They couldn't figure out that I didn't want their service to begin with. But they did give me the $75 refund, so I was appreciative of that. Now, next, I received a $400 phone bill from my local telco, Quest. Man, that was, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Why? Why was it $400, you ask?
Yeah.
Well, again, like I said earlier, I changed my number, as I am prone to do. Apparently, now AT&T, of course, blames this on Quest, but apparently when I changed my number, my long distance followed me, but my calling plan did not. I don't know how that could be Quest's fault, but that's what AT&T said. So, I had to call AT&T and get... It was very easy, actually. I was actually pleased with their prompt service. And get a refund from them in the amount of $180. So, Let's say $260 in telco troubles in 2 weeks. That's just not right. And it's been going on for months. I've been putting up for this stuff. Does everybody go through this, or is it just me?
Just you, because you're a freak, and they know it, and they have you marked, and they said, hey.
Oh, I knew it. They must have found the Quest PP&I on the site.
Yeah, my folks take
hey, we're going to screw with this guy. Watch this.
That's right. They're laughing at me the whole time. They've already recorded everything. They play. They've got their own radio show, you know.
We overcharged them.
That's right. Mess with the freaks, and they play weekly over their intercoms.
So, Duel, when are you going to go? Weren't you going to check out getting Vonage, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah. If I drop some coin and get a router, then I think I will go with Vonage. You can't beat it. I mean, it's the wave of the future, definitely. I could go totally cellular, but. I like to do the show with you, Rax, and with other callers. I like to make phone calls on the show, and it's just a lot more easy. You know, it's just way easier with this nice quality speakerphone hooked up to the POTS system. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Eventually, everybody will be totally, you know, probably totally wireless. We'll all probably have satellite internet. Of course, everything will be tracked even more, so
it
doesn't matter.
We'll have them connected into our bodies, cell phones, and like we'll put like you know little talking receivers on each end of the finger.
That's right. We'll have wetware and neural jacks, probably. But that's quite a ways into the future. I received something else this week, Rex. I don't think you've got it yet, but I've got mine.
Your confirmation?
How did you know? Yes, I did. Right here, 2600 Enterprises. My H2K2 pre-registration confirmation. Now. I paid, what, $50? And I expected, you know, this big fat packet with, like, a brochure and a name badge and all this. Nothing. It's a letter. It's just,
what?
It's just,
you get your badge when you go there.
Of course. And right. And likely so. And rightly so. So you don't get your real name on your badge. But,
And for, you know, for $50, I mean, you know, what do you expect? And on top of that, that's interesting. It'll be interesting for me because I went to DEF CON last year. And, you know, it was $50 to get in and everything was fine and all that. But, you know, they had a company there doing the videotaping and the audio taping. I guess it was the same company that did the Black Hat briefings. Black Hat briefings are all through that week. You know, it cost people thousands of dollars to go. And then DEF CON was that following weekend, so they had the same crew down for that. For H2K2, they had a thing up there for volunteers, and I volunteered to do some of the network stuff. And then I see as well that they're looking for people with DV camcorders. So since I'm bringing that along with me, too, I'll volunteer to do some videotaping, but you know, so it looks like they're kind of doing a more organic kind of approach. So yeah, I wouldn't expect any big four color, you know, glossy brochure to come in the mail.
Oh, and I'm not disappointed, but I guess I just had different expectations. Yes, Mary Chan.
I think actually you got gypped because I went to Otakon last year, which is an anime convention. I registered for that. This year I'm not going to register because the registration line is just far too long. But they sent me a nice little, five-page brochure in the mail, and I had, just because I registered last year, you know, I haven't even registered this year, and I got that little brochure, so I think you got gypped on the whole no brochure thing.
Well, you know, I could go either way, and I expected that. I expected a brochure something. I didn't get it, and I'm not disappointed. I'm assuming, though, that they will take care of the people who did pre-register. Like, they will have more people, you know, taking care of the pre-registrants as compared to the people walking up to the door. I can't wait for H2K2. I hope everybody goes. We are going. We're making it
I get the crew shirts made up for that time, too.
I'm going to
Old school freak shirts. That's a great idea. Great idea. Baseball jerseys, even better.
Yeah, old style.
Oh, like the old Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden stuff. What, you're going to say something about the Ota Geek or whatever
it's,
it was?
It's Otakon.
Right, okay.
I will be, unfortunately, not joining either of you gentlemen because I'm going to go to an anime convention.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I know. I was struggling over that decision myself.
Let's see. What do I want to do? You know, learn new stuff, hang out, work, or go to this little cartoony thingy. Yeah, yeah.
Careful, you'll upset the anime fanboys. I don't like when you call it a
cartoon.
That's
right. Let me see. Richard Stallman, John Draper, Emmanuel Goldstein, or Transformers. I don't know.
Transformers last year had
whatever.
The Japanese guy.
The Japanese guy.
Hey, it's a good opportunity.
Was like Katsuhiro Otomo there? If Otomo was there, maybe I might have an interest in going, but... Anyways. Akira? Never mind.
I know who Otomo is.
Okay. So.
Remember, I'm more old school on that than you guys. I grew up watching Speed Racer, Marine Boy, and Astro Boy.
Did you know the rest
Astro Boy was cool. Of course he knew. He read the credits. Mm-hmm. I used to love Speed Racer. Okay, now. I had a lot of telco trouble. I also had a little, mind you, cable modem trouble. Now, I woke up one morning, and Google, my homepage, popped up, but that's it. Nothing else would work. Something was going wrong, and I didn't know what it was. I did the power cycle thing, turned it off, unplugged it. You know, they always tell you to do that. That didn't work. Pings wouldn't work, nothing worked. So I resorted to calling tech support. And boy, do I got a surprise for you listeners. First, I want to review a little bit about cable internet access. Now, I remember said in the past that I've got that bandwidth was 1.5 megs. Well, that is the cap that my provider puts on all of its subscribers' bandwidth. You can actually get 30 to 40 megs, that's megabits per second, on 1.6 megahertz channel, and that's what one TV channel goes on. So one of those bands of frequency, you can get 30 to 40 megs. So it is very, very fast. So, like I said, I called tech support. I learned a lot from tech support. I grilled them, basically. I asked them a bunch of questions, and this guy was really good, and that's a surprise. I'll get to that. Of course, he told me about SNMP. I'm sure all you listeners have heard about the SNMP vulnerabilities for various cable modems. I learned about something that the tech guy used called CMTS, and that stands for cable modem something or other. He didn't know, and I don't know, but I'm assuming it's their tool that they use there at the tech support land. And he can perform admin tasks with that. He can test throughput, which was my problem. Apparently, I had a weak upstream signal. What else? Look up, I guess with this tool, I'm assuming it's this big software tool, you can look up stats in Oracle. He can also see how many computers I had connected to the cable modem over the history of since the last time I called. And he told me I had six. He showed six, which is probably accurate. I'm assuming, and of course I got that info from MAC addresses. He said that, I show six. And I said, oh, no, I just have one hooked up. And then he said, oh, that's okay. You can have routers and you can, we actually encourage that. That's fine. I said, oh, okay, good. Cause, I had a wireless proxy hooked up at one time. So he was really cool. And eventually he said, well, you should set up a Linux router. And I was stunned. I didn't say anything. It's hush. Just like that, listeners. I said, yeah, the Linux, what is that, Linux router project? He's all, yeah, and then he said, actually, I use BSD. Again, I was stunned. And it was great. We talked, I don't know how long we talked. He was, because I've never used BSD, I plan to now, and I'll get to that even later in the show. We talked about Linux, we talked about BSD, he was giving me tips, what to look for, what to get, and, how powerful it is, and how it's good for networking, and I enjoyed it. This was the total antithesis of Screamer's router tech support troubles that he had. This guy, he was a full-on hacker on the other end of this tech support phone call. Have you ever run into that, Rax?
You just got lucky. I mean, I've had cable modem for going on 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
And I know the network stuff, you know, I'm really pretty comfortable with that.
Yes.
I've been doing that for quite a while and stuff. And, you know, occasionally when I have to call in on something, say, oh, I'll do this, do that. It's like, yeah, okay, I've done this, I've done that, I know. Anyway, so this one guy started popping an attitude. And, you know, I said, okay, so I said, here's what's going on. I said, I've done this, so I think it's this. He says, well, sir, I'm gonna have to be the one to determine that. You know, what's this? And I said, okay. I said, let me run through it again. I've done this, I've done that. This is what this is doing, that's what that's doing. I said, this has happened before. Can you just go ahead and reset it? And he goes, well, what's your MAC address? And, you know, he thought I was going to say something like, oh, I don't have a Mac, I have a PC. So, pulled up, I gave my MAC address, and I said, but that has nothing whatsoever to do with it. That's layer 2, and we're having a layer 3 issue here going on.
You busted out the OSI layers, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He was probably smoking by then.
Yeah, well, you know, I have this, like, you know, World War II fighter pilots used to put, like, you know, all the flags for each one of the enemy planes they shot down.
Right.
You've got this imaginary thing over my monitor. So many logos of all the tech support people I busted on. Because, you know, I understand, you know, there's people, frontline tech support, they have to do with some stuff. But, you know, when you get someone on the phone who has some intelligence and who's dealing with the stuff, and usually I'll tell them, I said, hey, you know, I've been doing this for X number of years. You don't have to say T-Y-P-E space before the command. and most of the times people appreciate that, you know, because
right.
You never know who you're going to have on the other line when you do tech support for anyone who's done it out there. So if you've got someone who can speak intelligently about things, you can save a whole lot of time.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, when these first level guys get this tube going, it's like, I have no tolerance for that, man. I'll just smoke them.
I don't blame you, and believe me, I have nothing against tech guys. I'm totally down when I call them, and I'm respectful. I listen to them. You know, I work with them. You know, as they do, and most have been actually very good for me. Yes, Mary Chan.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I've known some people who have worked tech support, and I hear them talk about the opposite end of the spectrum. They'll be like, yeah, and then they were saying, I couldn't figure out how my computer screen isn't showing. And I was like, man, did you try turning it around? And they're like, oh, thank you, you're such a, oh, wow, thank you. So
right.
Well, I mean, that's true, and there's a lot of people out there that are like that. You know, they think the, you know, they call tech support because their coffee cup holder on their computer broke, and then they go to find out that it's a,
that's right.
Everyone's.
The CD thing. I'm just trying to look up. There's a very funny thing for anyone who's ever dealt with this. If you go to Dead Troll, DeadTroll, they have basically like the help desk from hell. They're a comedy group, but it is funny as anything. The full name is Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. But look for the help desk, internet help desk. It's like about a little 20-minute video, and it'll just make you laugh.
Is it like a video of bastard operator from hell kind of thing?
Well, no, it's showing this guy, you know, as he's kind of do that, and he goes, and he's going through, and he says, oh, I'm sorry, sir, now, can you tell me, does it have the big red, the big blue N, you know, or the big green E in the corner? Oh, big black nothing. Oh, I'm sorry, that's totally my fault, sir. I guess, you know, the first thing you're going to have to do is turn your computer on. And it's going and doing all this, and it's just funny, it goes on for like about 10 minutes, but it's hilarious.
That does sound hilarious. So I had a great experience with tech support. And of course, he fixed my cable modem. I guess I had to run errands, so I shut it off, and he said, yeah, I'm going to upload a new boot image, and it worked fine. So very happy with that. Now, I discussed BSD from that last segment. And I'm going to tell, you know what? Oddly enough, I'm going to tie this all in. I'm going to review SUSE 8, and I guarantee I'm going to tie it into BSD. In fact, you know what? I'll do it right now. Here's my review of SUSE 8. It was just released last week or week before. I don't remember. Here's my review of SUSE 8 Linux. It's time to move on. You know why it's time to move on? Because it worked flawlessly. Everything worked right out of the box, unbelievably, simply, smooth, and beautifully. It's time to move on. It's time to move on to BSD. I think they've achieved something great. I purchased, you know, of course you have to buy it. You can download an evaluation version. I purchased $40 a box version, SUSE 8. I brought it home to my new high-end tower. I had this machine built out of, you know, quality, non-proprietary parts. And it's got 98 on it now. And I booted into Linux. It found everything. The only thing I changed in the installation was the suggested partitioning. I changed that. I clicked through everything just to check it out. But otherwise, that's all I did. I changed the partitioning. And if you're a Joe Schmo user, you wouldn't even have to do that. You could just accept it and move on. It was effortless. Again, it's beautiful. It uses KDE 3, which I think is the first distro to use that. It's Conqueror 3.
Conqueror is a web browser. KDE is a desktop.
Yes. Thank you, Rex. Thank you. It was just simplicity itself. And like I said, everything worked right out of the box. Sound, video, Ethernet. I did change one other thing when I installed. I opted out of Star Office, which is fat and bloated, by the way. Maybe we can talk about Office distros, Rax. Star Office, Gobi, Open Office. There's another one I thought, too. Like a Korean company makes one I'd like to check out. Maybe we'll talk about that later. So, like I said, it's time to move on, folks. If you get something just that easy, just that simple, you know, that's really a challenge. Believe me, I love it. It's so much fun.
Well, you remind me of those guys who get into a band, you know. Oh, yeah, I just found this great new band, and you're really into it. And then when other people start getting into it, it's not cool anymore because, like, you found it first.
Are you thinking, no, I don't think that's it. No, that's not. No, you're totally missing the point. The point is,
I need to move on. This is so good. It's so smooth. I need, you know, you're saying I need to
sell out.
No, it's not either of those things. The thing is, I remember that, you know, you had to bust your ass to get sound working on your DOS games, you know? Remember you had to do that?
Yeah.
It's not there anymore. So I don't know. Is that silly of me? Is that pretentious? I don't know. But I'm not saying I want a challenge, but maybe I do. I want to have to make something work again. I don't know.
No, that's I do the same kind of thing. That's where you grow and learn and stretch. You always have to, you know, people tend to do that too much. They get in their comfort level and they stay there. You know, and I think that's just part of the hacker ethic, is just, you know, getting in. You want to grow, you want to stretch, you want to challenge yourself, and, you know, because there's always something new to learn. I would say my attention span, excuse me, is like a 5-year-old kid. Dog is twice the length of the object he hit me with. So I remember when I finished college, and I said, well, I think this computer stuff will keep me interested for like 5 years. Well, you know, little did I realize that the you know, everything changes completely within 18 months.
Oh, yeah, it's infinite. The learning is infinite, and that's probably what I enjoy about it. So it's time to move on, although I highly recommend SUSE 8. I bet it works great on laptops, too. I've had good luck with SUSE on laptops before.
Did you get that free BSD off of my server?
No, but I will. Actually, I might, to support FreeBSD, I might go buy the Power Pack. I saw that in this store that I went to buy SUSE. It was a little pricey, but it had, gee whiz, it had 10 CDs and a, you know, War and Peace-sized instruction manual. So I might buy it. I might not. Excuse me. I want to talk about one thing more about SUSE before I leave it. And that's the firewall. And past distros, you know, used to probably use the personal firewall, especially if you're a single user. And that was pretty, you know, very simplistic. Go to ES2, and you pick, you know, PPP0 if you had dial-up, you know, ETH0 if you had bandwidth, if you had broadband. Now, you don't do that. What they've done is made with SUSE Firewall 2, they have made IP tables simple for even the average home user. What they did basically is make a front end for, as I said, front end for IP tables in YAS2. You go to where do you go? I forgot. Security and users, I think, under YAS2, and you'll see the wall and the lock, and you click that, and all the configurations from then on forth is configuring IP tables. So if you've ever wrote IP chains rules or IP tables rules, you really might appreciate this. I think they've done a great thing, and I went. Of course, I'm not one to trust wizards totally. I went and checked it out. You know, you can go find all the config files, etc, sysconfig, SUSE firewall 2. You can see, you know, that the ETH0 Ethernet zeros. There to block all incoming connections. So you can still go check it out and you know, what the hell, go, you know, tweak your wrapper's config files too. What the heck, you know.
You know, I think I mentioned this to you before, Dylan. I'm just checking it out now. If you go to SourceForge, one of the top active projects is a firewall builder, and it uses GTK, you know, uses the GTK GUI widgets, but basically it's a graphical front end for IP tables and IP filters. And, you know, it's yet another free project that's out there. You know, and the thing is, you were saying, you know, it's too simple and everything else and that. And again, you know, I know where you're coming from that, but, I mean, that's always been one of the criticisms with, you know, any of the Unish operating systems. And for listeners tuning in the first time, we kind of came up with that term rather than saying Linux and Unix-like and BSD, just kind of call it Unix-ish, so we just call it Unish.
Unish, yeah.
But for any of the Unish type of operating systems is the fact that, you know, it's too difficult for the average person to install.
And right.
If you look back, like the difference between installing Windows 3.1 and Windows 95, that's one of the reasons it became really popular. So, you know, as the various distros are doing that, it's just going to improve the environment for everybody.
I totally agree. I think if they, boy, I hope they don't, well, I can't say I don't, I wish them success. I don't know. Of course, with their product, they won't become a Microsoft. But, and again, I'm not saying it's too simple. I totally that's what I'm trying to say. It's great. I'm very happy. This is a great. It's a great moment in Linux, I think, when you can get a distro like this and have it work so well. I admire them and I wish success upon them. And I don't think it's too simple, even for me. There's many, many things I don't know. Many things I can learn from it. But for me, I need to move on. I need to learn more. I definitely need to learn BSD. I know it's very secure, and I know it's very powerful for networking. And especially what they've done with IP tables and the SUSE firewall too. I definitely don't think that's simple. So, that's my review of SUSE 8. I'm sure Condor's sad he misses. I miss Condor, you know it?
Bring back Condor.
I don't know where he went.
Oh.
I don't know if he's having
come back.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's having trouble. I don't know.
He's locked up in your closet somewhere. I know you.
No. No hackers in my closets. They're all out of the closets here. Have you heard from Condor Rex?
I saw him at the 2600 meeting.
You did see him at the meeting. And you know what, folks? Listeners, you can see the meeting. Rex is behind the camera, and I wasn't there, unfortunately. Man, and you know what? I was so sorry I missed that meeting. But you can go to oldschoolfreak.com and check out a little video that Rex shot with his DV camera, with his night shot camera. And that was actually a pretty cool video.
Yeah, we didn't do night shot for that. But
no need.
Flavor, just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, he was there and talking about stuff. And, you know, he emailed those little sound files over today and that, but, you know, I don't know what's the point.
You're right, he did. Okay, so we know he's alive.
Maybe it's a
but,
girl.
But, Condor, if you listen to this, ooh.
No, it's true.
I think the girl's perspective probably hit on something, Rax.
He has a girlfriend, so, you know, when you get a girlfriend, you know, it all of a sudden becomes like, why do I need normal, totally platonic friends? I have a girlfriend. We can go hold hands.
We're not going to turn this into Loveline, folks. Don't worry, but you may be on to something. Mm-hmm. Hacker.
Well, she's a geek girl, you know. Geek.
She is. Hacker. She's got the love interest. Hacker falls in love. That's the next headline for Old School Freak News. Actually, I have another headline here.
Best Buy closes wireless registers.
That's right. Best Buy closes wireless registers. Apparently, some hackers.
Crackers, man. Don't be like the media.
What'd you say? Crackers?
That's so ghetto.
I'm just reading I am paraphrasing what the article says, and it says hacker. A hacker can sit in the store's parking lot and, quote, listen in on the data. Of course, anything RF can be listened upon, especially if you've got a scanner, a computer, and the right software. Now, folks, I hope you look up. I know that you're hackers. I know that you're aware. I know that you're sophisticated and savvy, so you probably know this already, but you go into your big stores and you look up, you know, you look 10 feet above your head on columns and on walls, and you're going to see little boxes that probably look like cable or DSL modems or routers with little blinking lights and maybe even an antenna, maybe a cable running from it. That's probably a NAP, a network access point, and that's probably transmit data from handheld scanners back and forth to the servers in the back. And that's what most of the wireless traffic in big retail stores is. That's most of the traffic is just pricing, inventory, stuff like that. But apparently Best Buy had the great idea to transmit wirelessly their cash register transactions, which would include what?
Credit card numbers?
Credit card numbers. Thank you, Mary Chan. So apparently they were doing that. Hackers sat in the parking lot, sniffed it, and they said, whoops, and shut it off quickly. Home Depot uses wireless left and right. I know Kmart does. Where else? Of course, Best Buy does. They admitted it. Hey, Rax, have you ever... Now, I love this. I love it when they leave... Of course, Walmart, too. Walmart does everything.
Big, yeah. There was an article a while back, like on Slashdot or something, talking about their whole infrastructure type of thing doing that. But anyway, go ahead.
Have you ever been, you know, strolling around in the store, and you see one of the nice, you know, blue or red-vested people leave their little Star Trek phaser laying around and picked up and played with it? You ever done that?
I can't say I have.
I love doing that. I've heard you can get a DOS prompt on it. I've messed around. I've been through a lot of menus. Sometimes it makes really loud beeps, and they, you know, they start looking, say, so put it down, and they'll laugh it off, you know. But they're a blast to play with. You know what?
Go ahead.
I'm glad I brought this up. Walmart, this is a, I don't know if it's a vulnerability, but it's just plain silly. I'd feel sorry for the people who actually do this. Walmart has this thing now, this electronic baby and wedding, what are they called?
Showers.
Registry. You'll go and it's a little LCD screen, touch screen, and you can enter in information, and then you carry around a little barcode scanner that'll save everything in it, and you go around and scan what you want, and then go back to this little terminal, hook it back, you know, put it back in the cradle, and upload the information into this this box.
It's actually kind of clever.
It's very clever to a point, and that point would be, I went in, and just at random, I picked a random name, Jimenez or Smith, I don't know what I picked, and I received this young engaged couple's name, address. Actually, I don't know if I got address. I think I just got their full names, both of them. I received the city they live in, their zip code. I don't think they had a phone number and address. But regardless, just with that information, you could go to the links on oldschoolfreak.com. Anywho, Switchboard, all those look up. Super Pages. With a name and a city and a zip code, that's plenty of information to get whatever you want. I could do whatever I want then. One little piece of information leads to a lot more, folks. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. All of you know this already, listeners. But I just think, I don't know if that's a vulnerability, I just think it's darn silly. You're just leaving all of your, just leaving your name on a Walmart freaking computer that's publicly accessible is silly. Am I wrong, Rax?
Well, you know, people don't think about that. They think about this, folks. You go someplace, you pay by check for anyone who's doing that, right? Okay, they have your address. They write down your driver's license number. Oh, what's that you say? Most people don't realize that your driver's license number is your Social Security number.
Whoops.
So they have your address, they have your bank account, they have your Social Security number. All that kind of information, all in one handy-dandy spot. Way too much type of stuff out there.
Way too much information. You have to, you know what? I hate to say it, but it's true. Today, you have to work at being private. You have to work at keeping your private information held close.
You hear all kinds of stories about the whole, identity theft. I know someone that happened to, and it took him years. As a matter of fact, I lost track of him, but, you know, it was like 3 or 4 years later, and he was still being messed up by it.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, you know, in that case, you're guilty till proven innocent on any of those things that the other person does.
Yeah, and boy, and there's like, you know, really, from what I've heard, there's almost no way to repair your credit rating. You were just going to say something, Mary Chan?
The thing is, though, everyone asks for your address. I have a P.O. box number, actually, just because I live so far out in the middle of nowhere.
That's
and
good.
So usually if, like, anyone ever asks, you know, for address or whatever, I give them my P.O. box number. And so I went to the library the other day, and my library card wasn't working. I went up to them, and they said, oh, you just have to renew it, just fill out the stuff. And so I put down my P.O. box number, but they're asking for my actual residential number. Actually, I did, and they had to look at my driver's license, though, for proof. And, of course, my real home address is on there, and I said, oh, I moved. But I understand why they want my mailing address. They can mail me saying, hey, this book you ordered came in, or hey, return this book, you've had it for 6 months, but I don't really want to give them my home address. What, are they going to storm up to the door and demand I return the last unicorn? No, it's mine. It's mine.
That's right, and no, they won't do that. And yes, I think it's good that you... Oh, okay, I won't say it. It's...
I shouldn't lie.
I think you should lie. I think it's a good thing. Yeah. It's healthy lying. Pick your battles. Just go ahead and have that fake address ready. Make one up off the top of your head. You don't have to give it out, especially to a frickin' library.
Just for the record, Mountain View is just so anonymous, so no works. No, it's just,
I don't know what Mountain View is.
It's nothing, anything. It just sounds like a road. So.
Oh, okay, I get it. All right, yeah, make up a name, and you live on something, Mountain View, Lane, Road, Court, Circle. Okay, I like to go on little adventures, you know. I like to go hop on my scooter or my bike and zip around town and do fun things.
A scooter?
Yeah, dude, I got a full... Dude, scooters are so much fun. They're so much fun. There's like this little loading dock, and I'm fully doing like... Well, anyways.
It's a little toy and lap, actually.
Yeah, no way, dude. I can fully do tricks.
I want to get a face paint. Now, that would be cool. That's tacky.
What's that?
Do you wear, like, little helmet and elbow pads when you're on your...
No.
Is it like a little electric razor scooter?
No. It's push, man. And I can do some hellacious tricks. I can rail slide on my scooter. I can do big-ass bonuses. It's awesome. All right, anyways. Sorry I brought it up. You two need physical activity. That's what you need. I get out and do stuff. You don't. All right, anyways. So... And I saw this card, this business card.
Well, next time you're in town, I'll meet you in the gym.
You can walk your robo dog together.
She's mocking your Ibo.
No,
okay. I saw this business card laying on the ground, and it intrigued me. I don't know why, but I looked at it, and it's called. Well, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say the name on it, but I'll read the slogan under the name. For a great night's play, book a party today. I think that says it all. And then it had somebody's name, romance consultant. I just, so...
I didn't know, boy, this is, you know, so you can't call them hookers anymore, they're romance consultants?
I guess so. Well, we're going to call, well, guess what? This romance consultant has a 1-800 number.
Oh, man.
And we, folks, we listeners are going to call it right now, so hang on a second, Rax. Calling AT&T first. For a great night's play, book a party today.
To place a call, please. Thank you for using AT&T. Calling Slumber Party's voicemail system. Please listen carefully because you will be given several choices. At any time during your call, you can return to this main menu by pressing the pound key. If you are interested in booking a party or becoming a distributor, please press 3. If you are a distributor and would like to place an order, please press 1.
Does distributor mean pimp?
If you'd like to leave a message, please press 2. To listen to our hotline special, press
hotline.
4. If you're calling...
Okay.
Today, April 24th, beginning at 7 a.m. through April 25th at 7 a.m., the sale will be anal beads jelly for $9 retail, no limit. The waterproof clitorific for $31 retail with a limit of 5. For those girls that have reached 4,000 in the month, the previous month, the one-eyed jack, $40 net.
4,000, John?
What's a one-eyed jack? That's what I want to know. Okay, I guess that's all the hotline. I'm going to hit star.
Enter your user ID.
Ooh, enter user ID. I'm going to enter a 10-digit phone number.
Hey, that's my phone number.
Hi, you've reached Slumber Party's distributor and party line. If you would like to book a party or become a distributor, please
Ooh.
Leave your name and a day and evening.
Ooh.
Do it.
Mary Chan, you got to do it.
As soon as possible. Thanks for calling.
Okay, Mary Chan, do it.
Pressing the pound sign or hanging up.
Hi, my name is Cynthia. My
Hi, my name is Cynthia Martinez, and I was just a little curious about the whole dating service and everything. If you want to email me back, I live on 50. Well, not email. I'm sorry. Address. I live on 1501 Mountain View Court, 87229, of Albuquerque, New Mexico. All right. Santa Fe. I'm sorry, I'm messing this up like no one's.
There we go. That was perfect. You got it. You got to learn. That's good. I mean, you made up address, cities, everything. You got to. You gotta learn how to be smooth about making up phone numbers, addresses, especially now. You did good with the name, but next time just roll it right in. Just let the numbers roll off your tongue and just keep flowing with it. Don't ever stop. Don't ever second guess. You did well. That's good for your first try. All right.
101.
Oh, they're still on the line. Hold on, Rax.
I'll speak to someone immediately.
Rax.
Yeah, man.
All right.
It was funny.
That was great. That was very good.
Those girls have reached, 4,000 Johns in a month?
I think that's what it said, the one-eyed Jack.
You didn't have any energy to call. My God, okay.
I wasn't even halfway present what you were talking about. I didn't even know what to say.
Plus, you know what I think? I think the first item on the hotline special was jelly. Was I wrong?
Yeah, there's anal beads. You can have anal beads as you want. But
all right,
it's other
great. All right, okay, it's degrading quickly. All right, so that's what I found, folks. That's what. That's what fun
so
stuff.
Badly.
No, it's okay. You'll learn. Believe me, lying is an art. Okay, sorry, not lying.
Deceiving.
So exactly. Thank you, Rex. So you know what it is. That's exactly what it is. When Radio Shack asks, and again, I learned this. Pick your fights, right? The two bulls on the hill. Pick your fights. If Radio Shack asks for your address, and if you know they give you a hard time, or you know some other store gives you a hard time about it, don't fight them. Just go ahead and give them the fake information. Pick your battles. I know I learned, some CompUSA guy started getting all hectic on me. Hectic, he's being an ass is what he was doing, because I didn't want to give him my address for something I paid cash for. I was silly, and I was fighting him. So it just led to aggravation. So, again, pick your battles. Mary Chan, believe me, you'll learn the social engineering as it comes, and that's what it is. Learning how to just pull stuff off the top of your head, give it names, addresses, phone numbers, excuses. Big time, excuses are real.
My mom says she'll kill me if she learns I gave up my real address.
Well, I don't know.
My
daddy
will beat
me.
No,
that's not that kind of excuse. Excuse like, you know, the guy catches, you know, some guy catches you, you know, ass up in a telco dumpster. Well, you're looking for a soccer ball or wire for your science project, or yeah, you know, those kind of things. It'll come with time and practice.
Employees only. I can't read.
That's right. No, I'm not. Yeah, just start. If you're bilingual, great. You got an excellent alibi right there.
No habla el español.
I'd like to play a couple of things, and I hope I'm not dragging this on, but I'd like to play a couple of the, last week I didn't, I just wanted just the show. I wanted last week's show to be very dramatic, and I think it was. I hope it impacted everybody who listened to it. I know it was very short, but I think we got our point across. Before the end of the show, I'd like to play a couple of the spots that were created for the May Day protest. And then I'd like to play, I know I played it twice before, but I'm going to play some more because it's one of my favorites. I'm going to play some Hardwire. They're an awesome techno-industrial band. Check them out on mp3.com/hardwire. And hopefully, this show, Radio Freak America, episode 11, will be the first show to stream on Rant Radio.
Woo!
Woohoo! Yes, we're planning to stream on Wednesday nights, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And I think that works well for everybody across the nation. And I don't think it'll work well for our international listeners. But again, I'm going to keep the show archived on the site for everybody in the UK, Norway, everybody who's listening to the show. So, for Rax,
I'm here.
thank you, Rax, for a second.
You're here?
You killed Rax!
No, Condor, first Condor, then Rax.
Will it end? Will it ever end?
Dropping like flies.
Oh.
Have to speak for me, ma'am.
Crap, I'm next.
Rax, thanks for being on the show, and like I said, I hope this gets streamed tomorrow night.
We'll find out.
I like you a lot, Rax.
Yes, ma'am.
But I think we
back at you, buddy.
I think we should be friends, though.
I'm manly enough to say that I love you, Rax. I love you, Rax. I kiss my dad.
Aw, that's so sweet.
All right, Rax, good show. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Rax.
Keep knowledge free.
Yay.
Mary Chan.
Love and peace.
Be the media. Good night.
If you like listening to music on the internet, listen up. It's in danger of becoming the exclusive domain of big business. The Copyright Arbitration Royalty Panel, or CARP, has determined that online stations must pay twice as much as regular broadcast radio stations for the right to stream music over the internet to you. The proposed royalty rates, in any case, is way too high. Plus, frighteningly, CARP asked the webcaster to collect personal data on you, the listener. CARP stinks like a bad fish. If you like listening to music on the internet, time is running out. Find out more on this station's website or go to congress.org and write everyone from the president to your local representative. Tell them the Copyright Arbitration Royalty Panel must not have their recommendations implemented. It's bad for small business, it's bad for music, and it's bad for you.